As you're finding your Bible, have you noticed lately all the spiders? How many have noticed a lot of spiders lately? Man, it seems like spiders are everywhere. I mean, spider experts tell us that it's because of all the rain we've had in the spring. I'm not sure about all that, but I know this. Last Sunday, my niece, Nikki's son, Lincoln, was trying to catch some spiders. You remember? Standing back there in the hall, looking for spiders, trying to catch them. So, how many of y'all are afraid of spiders? Let me see your hand, all right? Probably a lot of you are afraid of spiders. I want to preach today on the subject of knocking down the spider webs. That's the subject, knocking down the spider webs. I've never heard a message preached on spiders. I've never preached a message on spiders. But I believe this is going to be a blessing to you indeed. Speaking of spiders, did you know 4 schools shut down because of the spider infiltration? 4 schools. Over in London, USA Today put out a report, and I read it just this week, that 4 schools, because guess what kind of spiders they were? They were not black widows, but they were called false widows. Have you ever heard of a false widow? A false widow is a kind of spider, and they infiltrated these schools, so they shut down the schools to get rid of the spiders. Isn't that interesting? I don't know about that, but it reminded me, speaking of false widows, it reminded me of a man who had told his wife he was going to give her $25,000 when he died to her to pay for his funeral expense, all of his funeral. And so about a month after he passed away, his wife was talking to a friend of hers, and she said, "How's it going?" He said, "Well," she said to the friend, "well, it's going good, but I'm broke. I don't have any money." She said, "What do you mean? Didn't your husband give you $25,000 for his funeral expense?" She said, "Yeah." She said, "Well, where did all that money go?" She said, "Well, it cost $10,000 were for the funeral. That left us $15,000 left." She said $5,000 of it went for a burial, a cemetery plot. And her friend said, "Well, that leaves $10,000. What'd you do with the $10,000? The lady whose husband had passed away said, "Well, I bought a stone." She said, "A stone? What kind of stone?" She said, "For $10,000. She said, "It must have been a big stone." She said, "What kind of stone was it?" She said, "It was 3 carats. Some of you have to wake up and get that tomorrow, all right? Hey, look, knocking down spider webs. And I believe there are two insights that God's going to give. Insights, hindsights, and foresights about this matter of knocking down spider webs. Well, take your Bibles, turn to the book of Job, chapter 8. Now, you're well aware of the fact what's going on in the book of Job. Bear with me for a moment. Job is in the scene, Satan's behind the scene, but God is always beyond the scene. You just think you've gone under attack of the enemy. You just think that you've gone through a lot of problems. I want to tell you something. I'll tell you, Job, my soul, the devil unleashed his all-out attack on Job. He lost his health. He lost his 7 sons, his 3 daughters, sheep, oxen, and servants, just like boom, 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 just like that. Boom, they were gone. And yet, through that process, even Job's wife said, "Curse God and die." But Job said, "The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Let's say that together. The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Y'all can do better than that. Say it again. The Lord gives, the Lord. All right, good. And so Job is now in the midst of the midnight darkness of his soul. He has been inflicted with boils from the top of his head down to the sole of his feet. And yet, 3 friends show up. They're fair weather friends. At least they showed up, I must confess. At least they waited for a few days before they began to give Job some kind of counsel. Unfortunately, they were wrong. By the way, look at me. Look at me. By the way, be careful what you say to people when they're hurting, all right? You could be wrong. In fact, you may not know why they're going through what they're going through. The fact is, these 3 friends, Bildad, Zophar, and Eliphaz, a philosopher, a theologian, and a counselor, they gave Job wrong information. Even though they tried, yet Job, it put Job in a deeper hole of discouragement. So, we come to Job chapter 8, and 2 verses stood out to me as I've been praying and seeking the Lord, knocking down spider webs. Look at chapter 8 and verse number 13 and 14. Job chapter 8, verse 13 and 14. Are you there? If you are, say amen. All right. Job chapter 8, verse 13 and 14. Notice what Bildad said. He said, "So the paths are the paths of all that forget God, and the hypocrite's hope shall perish. Then verse 14, whose hope shall be cut off, and whose trust shall be a spider's web. Bildad is saying, there are some people who will forget God. Look at verse 13 again. So are the paths of all that forget God, and hypocrites' hope shall perish. The hypocrite's hope shall perish. Verse 14, whose hope shall be cut off, and whose trust shall be a spider's web. You know what? Speaking of forgetting God, I tell you, people are prone to forget God when things are going good. You know what happens, I've noticed, when things are going bad is when people want to remember God. When things are going good, people say, I don't need God. You know what I'm about the impression to do? When people tell me to pray for, they say, Pastor, would you pray for me? Sure, I will. I'm almost inclined to pray, God, may things go good, but then it seems like people today, when things are going good, we don't have time for God. Look at all the empty seats in here. I mean, we don't have time for God. I mean, people today, we don't really need to read our Bible. We don't need to pray. I mean, things are going good. Well, that's what Job's friend said. Forget God, and then you get in a mess. A spider web. This is the word of the Lord, and I want to pray, and then I want to preach a message on knocking down the spider's web. Father, I thank you today that you love us, and I thank you today that you got a word for us, and I confess I'm nothing, but I confess you're everything, and Lord, I pray, I thank you for gathering those that have been, that are here, and you, Lord, you've just given us a sweet time around the table, and yet, Lord, there's some more that you've got for us today. I pray you'll challenge us, you'll encourage us, and Father, I know the enemy's trying to build some spider webs all around us, and we pray that you'll open our hearts, and you'll open our eyes, and Father, you'll quicken the word of God in us, and you'll make us overcomers, and you'll give us, Lord, a double portion of your spirit. I pray for daddies and mamas and husbands and wives and young people, teenagers and students, dear Lord, that are facing the attacks of the enemy. We pray in the name of Jesus that strongholds will be crushed, and Father, generational curses will be dug up, and Father God, there'll be freedom and liberty, and Father, that you will have the glory for it. I thank you for changing lives. I thank you, Father God, for what you've already done. And we look to you now for you to be high and lifted up. We love you and praise you for your love. I thank you for changing my heart. I pray today, God, that you'd remove the pretense and the, dear Lord, the hypocrisy and everything that's hindering us from really being all that you want us to be in these days. And we thank you now for victory in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And amen and amen. Knocking down spider webs. I want to tell you where we're going in the message. I'll try to be as brief as possible. Number one is this. How does a spider build its web? You got that? Number one. How does a spider build its web? Number two. How can you knock down a spider's web? How can you knock down a spider's web? And I'll tell you what, y'all might not think Allie is listening, but she's writing notes. She showed me after church that she takes notes. Isn't that a blessing? Hallelujah. And it's such a blessing to me to see these young people taking notes in the message. You don't think they're listening, but they really are. It's such a blessing to me. And by the way, number one, how does a spider build its web? Number two, how can you knock down a spider web? All this is in Job chapter 8. Now, hold on. I'm going to tie something in as the Lord has spoken to my heart this week in regards to the Lord's table, what we just observed, the Lord's table. That's right, right here, the juice and the bread. Number one, how does a spider build its web? I want to share with you some interesting facts about spiders. I did some research this week to come up with some conclusions about spiders. Did you know a spider has 8 eyes? Some spiders have 2, some have 12, but the average spider has 8 eyes. Can you imagine how that would be, having 8 eyes? Man, you'd be able to see everything all the time in the back of your head and all around. Some of you probably can already. Hey, did you know spiders have, watch this, 8 legs? That's right. A spider has 8 legs. It's not an insect. I used to think spiders are insects. Wrong. A spider is what's called a arachnid. Arachnid is a spider is not an insect because it's got 8 legs instead of 6 legs. But wait a minute. Do you know that a spider doesn't have a nose? Do you know that a spider doesn't have ears? But did you know spiders have legs? That's right, I just told you, 8 legs. And guess what's on that spider's legs? You guessed it. Look up here. That is hair. Spiders have hair on their legs. I wonder if the females shave, you know what I mean? I don't know about that. But spiders have hair on their legs. And guess what? They have claws. Look, they've got claws. Why in the world did God make them to have claws? I'm glad you asked that, because you know why? Their web is built out of a sticky, gluey substance. You know, it catches flies. It catches bugs. But guess what? A spider has these claws to maneuver around in its web without getting stuck. That's why they've got claws. Speaking of legs, reminded me of the story of the professor. Did you hear about it? A professor who had a large class of 150 students in college. And they were studying birds. And this professor, for the final exam, he called all of his students and said, I'm going to give a final exam. They came to the classroom, unexpected what they were about to witness. On the platform of this particular class, the professor had every single bird, almost 50 birds, up on the stage with a blanket over the cage. The only thing that was showing was the bird's legs. Therefore, the student was to identify that bird based on identifying the legs of that bird. Most of the students couldn't believe it. In fact, one student was so frustrated, he couldn't believe the professor would do such a thing like that, to have them to try to identify a bird by its legs. Hey, they weren't prepared for this. One student threw down his pencil on the table and said, I can't believe this. And he jumped up from the classroom. He was walking out. He said, I'm out of here. The professor said, son, stop. He said, what's your name? The boy looked at him and said, you tell me, professor. And he pulled up his pants leg and showed him his leg. You tell me. Well, I don't know about that, but I know this. Spiders weave webs. Do you know how a spider builds a web? Do you know how he does it? He's got they've got a little sewing machines inside their body. And all these sewing machines are working all the time, and they're able to construct a thread made out of silk. They eject this out of their body, this silk thread. It's got a sticky, gluey substance on this silk thread, and then they build their spider web. In fact, you'll see on the screen here how a spider will build its web. Normally, they'll start in one corner, the spider. I'm going somewhere. Hang with me. They start in a corner, and then the spider will eject this web, this thread. By the way, this silk thread, once building a nest like this, a web like this, it will result in the same strength of a piece of steel, pound for pound. That's what scientists tell us. And so the spider will get up here on this particular place and eject this silk thread down, swing it up to the other side, and attach it on the other side. Then the spider will crawl across that first web, that first string or thread, and then shoot out another thread to the other side, and then in turn shoot out a thread down here, and then here, and then the spider will begin to build, and these threads will be interwoven until finally you have a spider web. Now, the spider will hide. Have you ever seen a spider get a bug? I saw a spider a few months ago. I stood there and watched that spider. It had a spider. The spider was hidden. Once they build their web, most of them will hide, and they'll wait to the right time for the wasp or that bug, that ant, or you know, that fly, because this curiosity that the glitter on that web causes that fly to go to it, and it, once it attaches, that gluey substance catches it. Meanwhile, the spider will go out and with its fangs will inject the fangs into that fly. I saw one spider that the wasp, it was a wasp I was watching, and the wasp got tangled up in the web, and the spider ran out there and, you know, just, man, he just wrapped him up. He wrapped him up with this thread, and he wrapped him up with some more thread. Next thing you know, he's in a cocoon. He's got him. He's got him for lunch. He's got him for supper. That's how the spider will build its web. And Job's friend said, whose trust shall be a spider's web. Can I tell you how the devil builds spider webs in our life? See if you agree with me. There are at least three spider webs I think the enemy builds in our life. What are they? I'll tell you what they are. By the way, this is a black widow, and here is a cricket. And so the spider, number one, the first web the spider will build in our life is a web, are you ready? A web of fear and worry. I said fear and worry. Is there anybody here today that's been afraid? Is there anybody here today that you've been fearing about the future? You've been afraid about your children. You've been afraid about the things that are happening in our world. Three primary areas. Number one, family. We live in fear about our family. Well, I'm just afraid about, I just don't know what I'm going to do about my grandchildren, my children, and they got to face all this stuff. And young people today, they can't go to school without being somewhat concerned about somebody coming to school with a gun. I mean, we live in days where it's easy to live in fear, but wait a minute. God said he's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That's a good place to say amen. That's 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. And by the way, Isaiah 41:10, Isaiah said, fear thou not, I'm with thee, be not dismayed. I am thy God. Yea, I will help thee, I will strengthen thee, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And so if you're living in fear today, I want to tell you, you don't have to live in fear. You can be liberated. That's a web of the devil. By the way, worry is a low-grade fear. That's all worry is. It's associated with that phobia, afraid of this and afraid. Some of you said this, you are afraid of spiders. Fear and worry. Is there anybody today that's been worried? Is there anybody today that's had anxiety on your mind? And what if my health fails? And what about my retirement? Our family, our finances, our future. These are areas that we tend to worry about. And I dare say that some of us today that we've been worried about, well, what if this happens? And what if I don't get this? And what if they leave? And what about if this door closes? And what if I get fired? And what about what am I going to live? And what about this? Fear and worry is a web the devil weaves in our lives. No wonder Paul said, be careful for nothing. Be careful for nothing. Don't worry about anything, but in everything, what? By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And then the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Fear and worry. And you know you've been going through it this week. It's a web of the devil. It's a web to keep you ineffective. It's a web that's sticky and gluey. And once you run down that path, you'll get caught in that web. And the enemy begins to bombard our minds. But I came to tell you today, you don't have to live in fear. I came to tell you today that Jesus came to set us free. I came to tell you today that whom the Son has set free is free indeed. I came to tell you today you can break that spider web today in the name of Jesus, by the blood of Jesus. And you can say, thank God, if God be for me, who can be against me? There's somebody you today that the devil is trying to weave a web of fear and worry. Oh, yes. But let me tell you, a lady came up to me just last week. She said, Pastor, I preached a message. And she said, Pastor, would you pray for me? I said, I'll be glad to. She said, my husband just found out he's got lung cancer. He's already got Alzheimer's. His name is Ronnie. He and his wife, Ann, have been here several times. Ronnie and Ann Lynch. They've been here several times. They sit about right over in there. They live in Porterdale. He's 74 years old. He said, pray for me. And I said, let's pray right now for the Lord to give you peace and for God's will and power and His glory to be known in your situation. There's a second web. There's a second web the devil weaves in our life.
knocking down the spider webs. You know what they are? Number two, you ready for it? Lies and deceit. Lies and deceit. The devil loves to lie. How many know that the devil's a liar? Let me see your hand. How many know that the devil's the father of lies? And therefore, you can't listen to the lies of the devil. Do not listen to the lies of the devil. It's a web, and the enemy is trying to suck you in to listen to the lies and the deceit of the devil. Listen to what Solomon wrote. Solomon wrote in Proverbs chapter 6 in verse 16 through 19. Six things the Lord doth hate. Yea, seven are abomination to him. A lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that sows discord among the brethren. And so he's talking about the terrible tongue, deceit and lies. I'm telling you, we're living in days where you don't know what to believe. You don't know who to believe. You don't know if they're telling the truth or not. Hey, listen to me. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. You want to know the truth? Here is the truth. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. And so has the devil tried to weave some webs of lies and deception in your life? It was Paul who wrote and said, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good for the use of edifying, that it might minister grace unto the hearers. Yes, that thing of lying, John said in Revelation 21 and 8, but the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, the sorcerers and whoremongers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire, which burneth with fire and brimstone. That's Revelation 21, 8. So the devil's weaving his lies. Don't buy into it. Don't believe it. But tear down, knock down the lies of the devil. You know what the devil will say to you? God really doesn't love you. The devil will say to you, God, if he loved you, why would all these bad things be happening to you? God really doesn't care about you. Don't listen to anybody who says that God cares about you. That's what the devil's lying to you. And you just need to say, no, I believe the word of God. I don't believe you, Satan. Or you don't have to talk to the devil, but that's what you're saying in essence. And here's what the devil lies to you about. The devil says, well, you know, if God was a good God, like all you Christians say God is good all the time, why are these bad things happening? Why are these bad things happening to people? Why do people get shot at school, innocent people? Why would a good God allow somebody to go in McDonald's and kill people? Why would God allow a little baby to die? Why would God, if God's a good God? You know, these are all questions that people are asking. And these are questions that are webs of lie, and I'll tell you why. Let me tell you why, okay? Don't forget, we live in a fallen world. Don't forget that we are sinners by nature, choice, and birth. We can't blame everything on God. The reason a lot of things are happening out there is because Satan is the prince of the power of the air, and until we get to glory, Satan has certain amount of dominion. Furthermore, man is a sinner by nature, choice, and birth. We're not robots, and therefore we see the result of man's sin. You can't blame that on God. I'm telling you, we will not see the glory of God until one day we get to heaven. By the way, somebody says, well, but I still don't understand how a good God would allow things to happen like that. Well, let me ask you a question. I can't understand why a good God would send a son at the age of 33 years old and be crucified on a cross. Can you understand that? And yet the Bible says we know that all things work together for the good. It doesn't say all things are good, but it says everything works together for the good to them that love the Lord and to them that are called according to his purpose. That's Romans 8, verse 28 and 29. It doesn't mean everything is good, but it means this. God says, I will work even the bad in your life for good. Oh, yes. God said, I work it for good. I like what one man prayed. He prayed, dear God. He said, God, I don't like sugar by itself. He said, dear God, I don't like flour by itself. He said, God, I don't like cake mix by itself. I don't like eggs that are raw by themselves. But he said, dear God, I like it when they all mix together and put in that oven and bake a nice, good cake. He said, I sure do like a baked cake. You see, that's the way it is. God takes these bad things in our life. God takes these things that are uncomfortable in our life, and yet he works them for our good. That's what the Bible teaches, and yet God knows our situation. So, And it reminds me of a man that would pray day after day, speaking of spider webs. He'd pray this: "Dear God, wipe away the cobwebs of sin. Dear God, wipe away the cobwebs of sin." Every time he prayed, he'd say that. "Dear God, wipe away the cobwebs of sin." And finally, one day, he said, "Dear God," a man jumped up and said, "Dear God, don't wipe away the cobwebs of sin. Dear God, kill the spider." And kill that spider. And that's about the size of it. Hey, look, number one, there are the web of fear and worry. Number two, deceit and lies. Number three, what about false religion and hypocrisy? The devil would love for you to just play games. Listen to me. The devil would love for you to go through the motions. Just be religious. Y'all listen to me. I know what I'm talking about. I was a hypocrite. Can y'all hear me? I was a hypocrite. I used to sit in church like many people do today and sit back there in the back and play games with God. Wasn't really serious about repenting. Wasn't really serious about getting right with the Lord. I was going through the motions. I could sing the song. I knew the verses. And I played church like many people do today. And it was false religion. There's a lot of people today who are going to miss heaven by 18 inches from their head to their heart. You can have an outward profession, but if there's no inward possession, Jesus said you've got to be born again. And you see, a lot of people today, they're just playing church, religiosity. Did you hear what Job's friend said? He said in verse 13, "So are the paths of all that forget God, and the hypocrite's hope." You know what a hypocrite is? A hypocrite is someone who's play acting. A hypocrite is somebody who's pretending like everything's okay. You know, it's easy to do that in church. You come to church, you don't really get right with the Lord. You don't really confess your sins. You don't really do business with God, but you just kind of feel good. And the next thing you know, if you don't really do a thorough job of repenting, or if I don't really ask God to deal with my stubborn heart and my pride and my critical spirit and my Phariseeism, I get to the point like you can get to the point where you think you're all right and everybody else is wrong and you don't have anything to repent over. And next thing you know, we can build up this Pharisee attitude, this self-righteous attitude. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 20. He said, "Except for your righteousness," watch this, "exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of God." You got to be everything the Pharisees are, plus some. How many know that the Pharisees were religious? They wouldn't pluck out a gray hair on the Sabbath day. They were in church, hey? They were in Sabbath every time the doors are open. It's hard to get people to come to church today. Look around, see the empty seats. It's hard to get people to read their Bible today. It's hard for people to pray today. It's hard to get people to witness today. Why? We've left our first love. Why? Because we don't take it serious. Why? Because we're playing games. Why? Because we're too preoccupied with this and that. And the Lord says, "I love you." But if you're not careful, you can just be going through the motions and not really have a heart for the Lord. Do you really have a heart for God today? Is there anything in your life today that God's saying, you got to deal with it? You can't keep playing games. You can't keep going through the motions. God knows our heart. The other day I was in the carport and it was kind of dark and I looked down at my feet. And there was a snake in the carport. I jumped back. How many know what I'm talking about? I looked at that snake and turned a light on. I said, "I got to have a light." I turned a light on. Guess what? It was a rubber snake. It wasn't real. I said, "Praise the Lord, it's not real." The children, when they were growing up, had a rubber snake and it was in a bucket and it had fallen out of the bucket. But that's the way it is to be fake, not to be real. Is there anybody here that's fake? Deep down inside, you're mean as a devil. Deep down inside, there's filthy thoughts running through your mind. Deep down inside, there's not that genuine change and genuine repentant heart. God says, "You got to get real." Hey, I'm telling you, God knows our heart, amen. He knows our heart. And so you got the false witness and the false religion leading up all the way to the book of Revelation, chapter 17. I heard about a teacher, by the way. Her students were missing class. And they said, "Well, we had a flat tire." Four of the students came in late. They came in late every day for about 2 weeks. And the teacher said, "What is going on?" They said, we had a flat tire. She said, "All right." She called each one of them up to her desk one by one. Said, "Which one was it?" One said it was the front right, and one said it was the left rear. One said they were lying. They weren't telling the truth. And she could see right through it. How many know that God can see right through us? The Lord sees right through us. We can't fake God. We can't trick God. We can trick each other. We can deceive each other. We can come to church but really not be doing business with God. That's a web, a web. Hey, knock down that web today. Knock down that web today. Oh, yes, knock it down, knock it down, knock it down. I want to go quickly, and I'm almost done. How in the world can you knock down a spider web? We've talked about a spider web, but how do you knock it down? Two ways. One, the bad blood of the Lamb. That's what we've been doing today. Two, the broken body for healing. There's some people today that probably need some healing in your life. You're here today and you say, man, I do need healing. I believe that Jesus could heal my hurts. You've been through some bad experiences in your life. And there's only one thing that'll erase away your sin, and that's the blood of Christ. It's nothing like being forgiven. There's nothing like experiencing freedom and joy in the Lord, knowing I'm clean, not because of what I've done, but because of what He's done. Tell me, are you clean today? Tell me, even though we had that time of examination, is there something you can't let go? Is there something you can't move on? And somebody told me today, I was talking with somebody today. Well, actually, it was the other day. I was talking with somebody else, and they said this, Pastor, I can't move on. I'm holding on some stuff. And I said, well, you need to let it go. They said, I need emotional healing. And there's some of you today that you need to ask God to help you to move on. They said, I can't move on. I've got this thing I'm dealing with. There's power. There's power. There's power in the blood of Jesus. Power. Soul cleansing power. Hey, look. It's the blood of Christ. It's the bread that's broken. One man, I went to visit him last week, he said, Pastor, pray for me. He said, my blood work came back from the doctor, and I've got to go to see an oncologist. That's a cancer doctor. Ann knows exactly what I'm talking about. He said, pray for me. His name is Brother Pless Hayes. He said, pray for me. It's turned over to Dr. Carter. And I said, all right, let's pray. Let's pray for God to minister to your heart. Yeah, the broken bread. Jesus was broken for us that we might be healed. Emotional healing. Spiritual healing. And physical healing. God is able. He's broken. Broken. That we might be whole. I'm glad to tell you today that thank God Jesus was broken. But wait a minute. What about that power of that cleansing blood? Have you ever heard the name Dr. Felix Rue? You ever heard that name? Dr. Felix Rue was a scientist and a Christian. Number of years ago, his grandmother had died over that black diphtheria. You remember that loathsome disease, that terrible disease that claimed the lives of many, including Dr. Felix Rue's grandmother. Dr. Rue decided he was going to set out to find a cure for black diphtheria. And so he gathered all of his scientist friends, and he got 20 healthy horses. He was going to do an experiment on these horses. He had contained in a container the potent germs of black diphtheria. Well, he went in that container and he got him a swab. One of those things you can, piece of cotton on the end of a stick. And he went to those horses and he put all that germs of black diphtheria in the nostrils of them horses, one by one, 20 of them. He watched them. One by one, they began to fall out. They began to fall out. One by one, die. Temperature rising. The scientist said, it's no good. We're not going to find a cure. All of them left. But Dr. Felix Rue said, no, let's wait. Let's wait. There's one horse left. One horse left. And that horse staggered. And that horse stumbled. And that horse almost fell down, but through the night, the horse was battling that black diphtheria, And finally, about 2 o'clock in the morning, Dr. Rue was awake and he was watching that horse, only one left out of 20. And that horse began to stand on its own 2 feet and began to stand up straight. And by the morning, when the dawn broke, that horse was standing. Only one horse overcame. One was able to overcome all of that terrible germs of black diphtheria. You know what Dr. Felix Rue did? He ran up there to that horse. He extracted the blood from that horse. He ran down to the hospital where 300 babies were dying because of black diphtheria. He got the blood of that one horse, that blood that overcame that virus. He took that blood from the horse. He inoculated each one of those babies, 300 babies that were dying in the hospital, and every one of them lived except for three. Why? Because one horse overcame. One was able to overcome the disease. I'm telling you today, there's power in the blood of Jesus. We can overcome Satan by the blood of the Lamb. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 11 says, they overcame Satan by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. There's one has met Satan on his terms and on his ground. There's one, namely Jesus, who broke the devil's back. There's one who came up out of the grave with the keys to death and hell. There's one, Jesus, that conquered death, hell, sin, and the grave. And because he overcome and he overcame, we too are overcomers. Hallelujah. Some of you today need to overcome. Rise above. Knock down that spider web. By the way, you know what a spider web is? When a spider departs from the web, it's called a cobweb. Knock down that spider web. Knock it down today. That fear, that worry, that deceit, those lies, that false religion, that hypocrisy. Knock it down. There's some of us today that need to rebuild, rebuild, rebuild. You need to get a glimpse of the power of the blood, the power of the broken body. Healing to take place in your life. Healing from hurtful words. Healing from past experiences in your life. Ongoing, ongoing. Will you knock down those spider webs? Knock them down. Stand to your feet, would you, today?